All right, y'all, bless you guys. We're going to get started here on actually Tuesday Night Testimony Service. I'm going to let the music just kind of push here just a little bit. Matter of fact, I'm going to let it go ahead and roll. This is going to play itself out. We're going to get ourselves in position to hear what the Word of God is speaking that's coming from the Kingdom of God. Father God, we thank you, we bless you, we honor you for this opportunity to come before your throne as always. Father God, sanctify the Word, declare it, decree it. Let the Word to come from the Kingdom, exalted in your name. Lord, help us to be the conduit that you declared and you called us to be in the season that we're in, knowing through you, Father God. But everything and always is already designed and engineered to be possible to you, Father God. We continue to believe, Father God, we thank you for this time this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father God, we just thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing, all that you already have done, all that you're going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. It's such a blessing for you guys to get a chance to join me here on a particular network here at HNLC Studios. We've been dealing with just a little bit of what we call latency. If anybody know anything about recording, you know, sometimes the time pushes the voice of the message. It's pushed what you call latency. That means you kind of got to catch up to what we've been experiencing here at HNLC. But there's been a lot of changes going on in the system. We're preparing ourselves to do a lot of what we call video recording. Most of you saw a taste of it just here maybe a few days ago, but we actually been doing video recording for a while. We hadn't exposed it to a lot of you who are there in the particular stations we actually been broadcasting from, because we need you to catch up to what we're actually doing. You know, if you hear the audio, you'll see the video. And so we've been kind of playing back and forth with it. It's very expensive to get it rolling, but, you know, here at HNLC, like any other ministry, it takes money to run the ministry. It takes money to run the ministry, and if God put it in place, then he's going to declare that those who are involved and been a part of this particular platform will continue to give on and hear what the Word of God is speaking that's coming from the Kingdom. We got to push on. We got to mush on, regardless of what we hear and what we feel that in our natural sense. But I want to also continue to bring the information to what, you know, some of the connections and things we're doing. We want to thank the man of God at Good News International. It's actually Good News Ministerial Networks. He's got a powerful conference that's coming up here in October, along with the man of God, Dr. Chris. And we'll get that information on to later on with our as the program progresses itself. As I said, Dr. Von Peek. For those of you in the Arlington or in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, you know it's a 30-minute drive out to Dr. Von Peek's place, a very powerful man of God. Ministry sets at 1919 Collins Street in the city of Arlington, Texas. And most of you know for the famous, you know, Dallas Cowboys AT&T Stadium that's out there. If you know Dallas Cowboys and you know Arlington, you know, the number to contact Dr. Von Peek is 817-380-380. It's going to be 5406. There's an alternate number also, 817-460-0260. I'm going to keep our team in prayer. Apostle Oscar Walker, I was out there in the city of Houston, Texas, and his wife, keeping them lifted up, a longtime mentor in my life, over 15 years, been knowing him, as well as the man of God out there in the city of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, going to continue to lift up Bishop Raymond Johnson as he goes forth. A lot of the other men, Pastor Sam Finchroy, here in the city of Plano, Texas. Just a bunch of great men of God to surround me. That's not to the point that we really want to expose them or bring in collaboration with anyone, because we feel that it's a seriousness of what we do in the ministry, and the work is not a game. It's something that we take very seriously at HNLC. It's not a point of coming online and making contacts or being to the point of boasting. We do the Word of God here to help those to move forth. And this is one of the words we do here, Tuesday Night Testimony Service here with our friend out of Saginaw, Michigan, Elder Kerry Williams, who I see is in on the line. For those who are coming in, we thank you very much for joining us and being a part. As always, has been the host here. Most of the information you see is registered through the system here, not available to anyone who's out there unless you're actually calling in. You can actually catch us by the net. You don't have to sign in. You can just listen in, whether you build your iPhones, iPads, desktops, whatever have you, that you got a place you can set and catch Wi-Fi. If you want to go to Blog Talk Radio, and under Blog Talk Radio, you want to go on a search bar, you want to put in Power of the Harvest, and that's actually going to bring you right into the show, and you'll see us actually let up in that particular show under Power of the Harvest. And that'll get you right into the program on tonight. But let's go ahead and get started here on our Tuesday night testimony service. We want to move a meter to Scripture as we prayed and opened up. We want to declare the word of God that's coming from the kingdom of God. We want to bring the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, in here as one of the hosts. So it's, we got a host cube, and then we have what you call, most will say, in the church as parishioners, but we don't look at it like that. We be everybody's a host here. All you have to do is land, you know, kind of dial into that number, 929-477-1191, and you're in the studio. But it's a blessing for you guys to be with us. We're going to actually have the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, to have the words to say before we move forward. And we just thank you once again, Elder Kerry.
Amen. God bless you tonight, Apostle Ellis, and God bless everyone that's on the line tonight. Amen. We just would like to welcome you again at once tonight. We are here every week. We're discussing the Word of God. We're sharing our testimonies, and we're encouraging everyone that can and will to do the same. Amen. We still believe in the Word when the Word says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the Word of our testimony. Amen. And make no mistake about it, each and every one of us is a walking, talking, breathing, and a living testimony.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, man. I got to tell you, I'm going to leave him. Kind of leave him lit up. Because, you know, we can leave him lit up. So, got a little bit more,
amen.
You know, in terms of character in the studio, we don't have a lot of outbursts and things. So, he's fine. As we go internationally, worldwide, we want to make sure we're going to look at the word here in the area of 1 Peter. We're kind of going to go into our prayer also. I want to look at some things over in the book of 1 Peter, chapter, 1 Peter 1. I'm going to get my marbles here straight. 1 Peter 1 and 3. Let's look at something over here in this particular area of the third chapter of this 1 Peter. I'm going to push it out a little bit. I want to just kind of, you know, we talk about what he just said. You're living and breathing testimony of Christ. Every day you get up, it's not because of what we come on the line and tell you what to say. You ought to want to have to say something. Now, we're not here to pump you. Especially, I'm not here to pump you and make you have to say something what Christ has already gave you to say. So make sure that when you have something to say, it's not going to come from us pushing you. It's going to come from that which the kingdom God has already given you. You know, the word of God speaks over here in the area. I'm going to put another scripture, another actual version here. We're going to get the King James Version as well as Amplified Classic. We'll go down to the Common English Bible, but I'm going to start it right here in the Common English. We're going to go to 1 Peter 3 and look at this particular area in the 14th. And 15 words here. We kind of stroll ourselves to the word over in the Common English Bible. You know, it's been a teacher. You know, it's a work. It's a work that you're gonna have to study to show yourself approved. It's been a work. It's not just through education. It's not, you know, these words are live. The word of God is live and breathing. When a man of God hear these words and he speaks the words, we're going to look over here. We talk about testimonies and the process, how we want you to call in and be a part of our testimony service. There's something that God has done in your life this week. You know, it's amazing, Elder, when I think about how all through the week, and this is not a reproach against anyone or saying anything negative about anyone. But, you know, you hear a lot of words we talked about on our actual service about how we toss the word about, say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying
right.
for you. Or we got an individual that's going through some changes in their life. And we're not saying you don't have anyone praying for you. I mean, we're not saying that. All we're
amen.
Saying is that if whether I'm praying for you, whether they're praying for you, or someone else is praying for you, you know, be able to share the testimony about what God has delivered and done from you. So many calls we get in from people who are going through illnesses and sicknesses. Prayers come forth. We don't go back and give God the credit for what he had done, and we ask him for it. You know, we got to really just open up our heart to say, you know, I had a testimony. Apostle Ellis prayed for me. Elder Curry prayed for me, this, that, and the other, pastor, bishop. And you know what? God moved in the midst of all of this. And this is why you want to share your testimonies, because you want to let people know the words in which we speak are spirit. The Bible says
that's right.
Those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. The truth of God's word is that we're living and breathing as of right now. We don't know what the cause of the situation may be in the next 30 minutes, but we know we're protected. We talked about the area of the book of Elijah. I'm not just Elijah, but in the book of 2 Kings, about how Elijah prayed over his actual servant, and that was a testimony that what he wasn't seeing properly, that he had to reengage his eyesight through prayer to let him look again and let him know this is around, this is how you're supposed to look all the time. Everywhere you go, you're supposed to have angels around. You're never supposed to look opposite of what's around you. You're supposed to always have power around you if you're praying.
Amen.
But the Word of God brings a testimony to the point, it says over here in the Good News. I'm going to look over here in the area of the Common English Bible. I'm going to start there and we kind of move backwards as we, Lord, gives, the Spirit of the Lord gives a reference. He's about, happy are you, even if you suffer because of the righteousness. But don't be terrified of upset of them. Now, this is how he says upset of them. And regard Christ as holy. Now, this is what's going to, this is what we got to kick the revelation in at about testimony as I go on through this. He said, regard Christ as holy. Look, it's in your heart. Whenever anyone asks you to speak of your hope, now notice what he's saying. There are some things that there have been some hymns. You know, we talk about him. We speak about the Word of God. We're talking about him. You know, we're talking about the Messiah. And you go back to the 14th verse, not even finishing out the 15th, he said, but happy are you, even if you suffer. Now the Word of God said, yeah. We don't suffer. It's testimonies about our suffering. The Bible tells us, I think, if it helps me, and I believe in Romans 8:18, he talks about our rocking. He used that accounting term, that things that even Paul talked about, there was some stuff behind me that I didn't rightly understand of what I did wasn't in the eyesight of Christ, but through his grace and mercy, I got to testify from what I used to be. I'm not knowing anymore. You see, we all come from somewhere, but in the midst of us looking at the 14th verse, but happy are you even if you suffer because of righteousness. Now listen to me, man, woman of God. It's only righteous that you testify about the goodness of God. It's not bad. You want to give glory. As I woke up this morning, I had this, that happened. You're going to engage. You're going to help somebody else who's going through a suffering. Do y'all understand why testimonies are always made official as being a man or woman of God? You're going to always testify to the glory of the goodness of Christ. The Bible says, suffer because of righteousness. Do not be terrified or upset by them. You know, that's things we're going to go through. Don't let the circumstance upset you, but instead testify how God brought you through it.
Amen.
I'm helping somebody else. I don't know what you might want
amen,
to help me.
Amen.
Because I need amen. You to, you know,
yeah,
I need to get this.
Let me add something to that real quick, preacher. The New King James Version says in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In other words, simple phrase there, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, translates into set apart Christ Jesus as Lord in your heart. See, this is the thing. A testimony, God, the reason why it's important for us to give our testimonies of God, of what God has done in our life, because a testimony as unto God is right on the level. It's rooted in faith and obedience to God.
Brand
see, you can testify many things, but if you're testifying of God's goodness, it's exemplifying and demonstrating your faithfulness and your obedience to God, whom, according to the 15th verse, that you were set apart from anything and anybody else in your own heart.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. That's how it relates to us. That's a command right there. That's an order for any soldier of Christ to follow. He doesn't say that it's necessarily easy to do, but listen, when you're ready to tell of God's goodness, you're ready to even reveal those things that you never wanted other people to know, that means you're ready to stretch out and totally rely on God. And to be honest with you, this is a month of new beginnings. Seven is a month of completion. July was a month of completion. August is a month of new beginning. And if you're ready to step into new beginnings, you're ready to stretch out even more on faith. And the best way to begin is to give your testimony.
Hallelujah.
You know,
hallelujah.
It always reminds me of the scripture in John that said, well, you know, they didn't believe the testimony that God gave of his own son. Well, everybody's not going to believe or receive your testimony. But, beloved, there are those that are assigned to watch you. There are those that are assigned to hear you because God has planted a seed in your testimony for them so that you might bring forth a harvest even through them, even if they don't realize it. We do, you know, Paul said we ought to always, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Yeah.
If God tells us to testify, he has a specific reason and task for us because he's got somebody waiting to hear it. It doesn't matter how big or small you think it is, it's testifying to the goodness of God.
Amen.
Somebody needs to receive it.
Yeah, well,
I'm done. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're not pumping nobody. I mean, you know, I mean, your job is not to pump anybody. You know,
no, not at all.
Deliver the word, the Holy Spirit. That's his. You know, the heart is convicted by the word. If the heart is convicted, then you know it can't pull back the callus to bring forth that freshness. And what God said, okay, if you love me, then you'll testify of me. That's what, you know, the word of God tells us. You know,
there it is.
When you look at the, because it, you know, the word of God says, he said, always bearing, Paul said, always bearing in your heart. You know what I mean?
Bearing in your heart. That's right.
It's
march of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yeah. It's supposed to always be there. And so when I see things that Christ has done for me and I look at this particular area back over in the Amplified version of the particular area of this 1 Peter 3, it says in the 14th verse, he said, but even in the case, he says, suffer. Now listen how he said this. He said, even in case, now look how he's saying. He said, even if you suffer.
Right.
You should suffer for the sake of
righteousness' sake.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't.
If you're blessed.
Right, then you know
you're
blessed. Going right. The enemy gonna. Yeah, man. The enemy gonna see. He gonna come at you because you're right.
Exactly.
He don't want. If you think about the devil, then that's his job is to persecute you.
Amen.
To persecute you beyond measure. See, Paul said in the Word of God, he talked about that. He got a reminder from Satan. But in the midst of Paul getting that word from Satan, he knew that what he was dealing with was sufficient. That God had
That's
him
right.
in the midst of whatever. Am I there? Somebody else? I don't know if I'm speaking, but look here. But even in case you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And that's a guarantee. That's a sure word that's coming from the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And going back to what we just said in Romans, it backs it up in reference to saying, I'm rocking, even in the midst of your torment and going through. Matter of fact, you go back over to the Psalms 91, he said, you're under the shadows of the Almighty. I think Psalm 22 said, it's a valley that you go through. But we're not to be bewildered in the midst of going through what we call the shadows of the valley of death. He comes back over
Amen.
And he makes it very clear in the midst of this word. He said, but even in case you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, the Bible. You are blessed. Happy. You got to be happy to be invited. See, you know, it's good for you. Now, don't get me wrong. I want y'all to help me here. But I'm going to say it's good for you to suffer. But Christ said, in the midst of your suffering, baby, you got a backup.
That's right.
So I suffer with him. I'm going to reign. Because it's been guaranteed me that Paul said, if there's any more suffering, bring it on. That's what Apostle Paul said. If there's any more suffering, I got to do, bring it on. Because I know when I suffer for him, I'm going to reign with him. Your testimonies that he goes and speaks over here in this Amplified version, even in the case that you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Happy, be invited. Look here. Do not dread or be afraid of your threats.
Amen.
I believe the old folks, I believe I testify while I still.
That's right.
The chance is the fact that you don't take no threats from the enemy. You testify in the midst of your suffering. I believe God's going to bring me out. I believe because it don't look like things don't look like the way that I believe that I see the glory of God moving in the midst of all of this. I don't know
Amen.
About you, but I know God is going to bring me through. And if he said it in his word, then I'm going to believe just what he said. And I walk through this thing in the midst of Psalm 23. I may be going through the valley, but I got a sure word that's coming from the kingdom of God. It tells me if I suffer with him, I'm reign with him. And if I give a testimony about how he brought me through whatever the proclivity may have been, if it's something to somebody, like you may have had an illness or a sickness. Somebody got delivered from breast cancer. Somebody got delivered from ovarian. Somebody got delivered from prostate. I mean, I'm talking after Eric Carey Williams. He's like, I'm not talking from my child. Because everything he's saying, I've been delivered from, because I know he's a good God. Because in the midst of my suffering, when he came up and gave me the words about the thing that was going on in my life, I knew that God was in the midst of everything. Well, you got cancer. You smiled. And he smiled in the face of the enemy. When he took a baby girl away from here, he went on and kept on moving on. I mean, you see, you got to see these things. So you got to be a testimony for Christ. My situations, the things I've dealt with in the midst of just being a man of God, is overwhelming. But if Bible tells me if I put all my trust in him and lean not to my own, he will give me a testimony so I can look back over my life. And if you can just count the years, see, God brought every one of us in something, but you all don't testify about it. Every one of us is out there in something that we can give glory to God about how he brought us out and delivered us and enabled us to see another day. Some of us ain't even in the land of the living. Some of us ain't even here. That once was the Father. But Christ has guaranteed us another day that when we opened up our eyes and we got up, as an old song talking about, you blew your stinky breath and you had a chance to brush your teeth and wipe your eyes. That's a testimony. I thank God for rising me up this morning to see another day with a testimony right there in itself, just to get up and go through a suffering. You had to get up to go through. But if you can get up, baby, then remember, everything that God has for you is a look-up situation. You don't have to worry about where you are. The Bible says, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, the word of God. I testify about the goodness of what Christ has done for me in my life. Come on, hit me out of here in this 15th verse.
Amen.
He's making a declaration here. Whether you want to look at it from a... See, I don't want you to look at it from a... See, we talk about scripture. We don't need the education. See, this stuff is real, what happens to the lives of people. Every day somebody's lost a son somewhere in the world. Every day somebody's laid down their life. If you look at the obituaries, every day you see somebody on the left here. But when you look at an obituary, see, they ain't gone and used that to you. You all want to give God to Shabbaka. Because you yet in the land of the living. If you got a chance just to testify about what the goodness of God has done for you in your life. But I didn't eat last night. I went to the doctor. They told me this. But I came back and I prayed. And I prayed to God. And I heard a man begin to tell me, if you look up to God in the midst of your problems and your situation, God will not fail you, but he'll bring you through. Now, can you help me in the 15th verse? I need you to hear what he's saying.
Amen. Again, the 15th verse.
A lot more coming in. Let's get this first Peter 3 and 15. And let's magnify 14 and 15 for those who are just coming in. I want you to be able to be a part and tell your neighbors, tell your partners, tell the people that we're online tonight. And we're always going to be online every Tuesday. And remember to call 929-477-1191. Once again, 929. Got that 972 mixed up because I'm in the Texas area. But it's 929-477-1191. There's a word you have to say. You test the number one, we'll light you up, we'll put you in the studio. Now, the word of God we're talking to tonight is the book of 1 Peter 3, 14, and 15. Now, we're going to be going over, this is our base, but we're going to be going all over this, you know, just comparing, talking about the goodness of testimonies.
Amen, amen. there's a particular heading in my Bible, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, concerning this. These three scriptures, actually, all together, is from the 13th. If you read from the 13th to the 17th verse, it talks about suffering for right and wrong. And the 15th verse says, but sanctify again, set apart the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That is your, that's your charge to witness at every opportunity you got a chance, every time someone asks. Because, see, and the Bible here, this is the New King James Version, it says to give a defense. Now, the King James Version, I believe, says to give an answer. But this is the thing. There's a term called apologetics. And apologetics simply means to defend the gospel. Now, it doesn't mean to sit around and argue and fuss and fight with folks.
No.
But what it means is to draw from the experience and the spirit that's in you, giving your testimony and concerning what God has done and revealed to you in order to speak and reveal through you. So when the Bible talks about giving a defense to whatever someone's asked, look, Paul said that we are all living testimonies, read and known of all men. I don't care whether you realize it, know it, like it, don't like it, honor it or not. Somebody in this world is looking at you. They're not listening to you as much as they're looking at you. That's why it's so important. Your words have to line up with your life. It isn't the other way around. Your words have to line up with your life, because your life has to line up with the word of God. And if you have it in you to speak and you're willing and ready to be a willing vessel, the testimony is simply telling somebody in a simple, easy conversation, plain manner, look, I can't speak for you. I can only speak for what God has done for me. I can tell you God has delivered me from cancer. I can tell you God has delivered me from diabetes. I can tell you, God has delivered me even from temporary partial blindness. Saints used to sing a song, said, you can't tell it like I can tell it, what the Lord has done for me. And that's true.
Yes, that's right.
See, it stems from not only a faithful heart, but an appreciative heart of what the saints used to call an attitude of gratitude. When you can appreciate what the Lord has done for you, you have no problem telling somebody. It's just like, listen, when you was coming up and you wanted that nice new toy, that nice shiny bike or that car or something, and mama and daddy worked hard overtime and everything else to get it for you, you appreciate it, because the first thing you do is you wanted somebody, any and everybody else, to know about it. Look at my bike. Exactly. That's right. The appreciation comes from the fact, I want somebody to know this. I got this. This is what my mama did for me. This is what my daddy did for me. Well, God not only wants the same thing, but he deserves the same thing. But the difference is God wants it for the sake of you and everybody else. See, testimony, testifying, not only builds up your brother and sister, but it has to build you up first. That's just like Elder and myself and anybody calls it gospel. You know, listen, if we real about this thing, we can't preach to nobody before we preach to ourselves.
Yeah, first to you.
Yeah. That's right. The Bible says that we ought to be first takers of the vineyard.
Yeah.
We are the laborers in the vineyard. But guess what? We ain't going to give out nobody something without testing ourselves, because we ain't going to send nothing out that's poisoning somebody if it poisons us.
That's why you need to look at Judge Judy and Judge Judy. You better look at that real. That's another thing we talk about. Some of our different Monday night shows, y'all be on there.
Amen.
Don't judge me. Well, hold on a second. If I'm not judging you, there may be something in you that need to be convicted. Because
Amen.
The system, right? But if you're walking right, then you know you took up, as if I say, no man goes to God or field of whatever it may be, but I take the first of the partakings. You want to take
Amen.
Your stuff good. You know what
Amen.
It is because somebody said so murder.
Amen. See, Jesus told the Pharisees something real interesting. He said, you do err not knowing the scriptures, that the power of God be made of none effect. He said, but search the scriptures. He said, because the scriptures are they that testify of me. They were talking to the walking, living, breathing word, and they thought yet they knew more about him than he did. And the truth of the matter is, again, look, one thing I learned a long time ago, folk can have their opinions about you. That's another thing when it comes to this word here. You don't need no man's opinion. You need the straight, pure, unadulterated word. But listen, it's like this. Folk can have their opinion of you, but one thing they can't take from you is once you know, when you know what God has revealed to you, can't nobody take it away. And God gives you revelation in order to share so that you can receive elevation. It's just that simple. In order, go ahead.
Come on.
I was going to say, it's really just that simple. You don't have to take my word for anything because the Bible tells us to search the scriptures, and matter of fact, he tells us to what? To rightly divide the word of truth that we ourselves individually and then corporately may be fully mature, perfect one another. In other words, that's right. Only till we each do our part and then come together will the unit work. My pastor likes to say all the time, teamwork makes the dream work. That's true. The Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. So by testifying, by studying and rightly dividing the word of truth and then testifying of God's goodness therein, we strengthen one another.
Amen.
And the only way we can hope to be effective to anyone else is to be able to strengthen one another. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. This is why David was constantly telling the Lord, yes, I keep your testimonies. Yes, I speak your testimonies because it's what was in order for him to do, just like it is for the rest of us.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I should just say, I'm learning in strong. You don't go to team, take it away. You add to it. Whatever, NBA draft, NFL draft, corporations, business, it's all in the circle world the same way. They bring people to enhance the business, not to take the business down. I mean, if you're going to be a part of the team, then you got to check what kind of skills you bring into this. And if the man is lacking the skills, the Bible tells you that games of any man lack, then guess what?
That's right.
And the man around, the Bible says it's good to be among a pearl.
Amen.
That can strengthen you in wisdom. Because when you come into a team, corporation, I don't care what it is, church, assembly, whatever, when you come in with an already named attitude and not respecting the house of red, then you can mess up already. Because my mama didn't tell me, when you send my mama's house, I don't care where you come from, you need to come in, knock on the door, and you need to sit down.
That's right.
The first thing you do, and if you've got to use the bathroom, you go to ask.
That's right.
The rules in this house ain't the same that was in your house. And that's what we get, even though we know the word of God. And I don't care how much you call yourself being identified as being that of the kingdom of God, you got to understand that when you come into the presence of God, you must humble yourself. Because you come into the house, and even though you may see things wrong there, that's why your mom and dad, they taught you a lot of wisdom. I said sometimes we go with the word and we hear the word, but we got to be able to understand wisdom as well. That mother taught us wisdom. Go over there and sit down, act like you got some sense, and don't be asking people for no food in the house. They told us it. Don't act like you ain't got, quit acting like you ain't got all what belongs to you.
Come
so
on.
They know you. See, Christ is telling you the same thing. You know me, so why are you getting out there acting the way you acting?
Amen.
I think he said, first land, man, I think, let me see. When Aaron talks something, I mean, we're going to, you know, the Holy Spirit just moves, and we just, because we're constantly blending, and we're constantly gelling, and we're constantly having, and you can be that way too if you're constantly being on board with what's going on here. You know, but don't be tossed around like, get stuck with something. This one gets stuck. And on Tuesday night, you got good teaching here that's bringing forth the elevation of how God wants you to bring more blessing to your life by pushing him up. Look what God did to me. Look how he brought me up. Look how he blessed me. I mean, let people know. You know, just sit there and get on and sit on here. I mean, like, you know, you just sit there.
Amen,
You always might want to say something. But when we look at the process, even when Elder speaks about, and I don't want to take them too far back. I'm going to take it back about 3 weeks ago. But he remembered when the word of God came to them over in the book of Acts chapter 4. And if y'all read, it was with that time. Elder talked about how what anybody was lacking. Yet everybody was all a one. You know what I'm saying?
See,
amen. When you come into the body of Christ, you come in with songs, hymns, praises, worship, testimonies about the goodness of God. You don't come in. Don't come on my team, Moby. Go find somebody else. Go carry that sour attitude somewhere else. Because we want to lift you up and get you to see that it's power in the word of God. If you assemble yourself among the right men and women of God, that will strengthen you. See, when he said in Acts chapter 4, I believe it was in Acts chapter 4, you talk about the strengthening of it. But we'll be moving. We can push it over there. But I just wanted to bring that in put it into your cover, or put it into your presence, that when he spoke about that particular scripture over in Acts chapter 4, and really the whole chapter, Acts 4, talks about the coming together and the being as one. How your job through your testimony is bound to mesmerize the enemy. Because I believe that man that was laying in that particular scripture, they didn't want to know how did he get like this. And they posted an educated man of the temple. But they didn't know how he got like that. But, you know, how did this man come to be this way? Well, it's through belief in the power. And, you know, it's coming together collectively. But, you know, Elder, when you look at that word over there in the book of First Peter, and we was reading over there in that particular area, which makes a lot of sense about, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. But he comes back and said, even when you're going through changes, you got to have a good attitude when you're going through, you know, you can't get mad and upset.
Exactly.
Because the 16th verse said, man, you got to have a good attitude when you're going through. That's the way God's going to bring you out. You don't want to stay on the burner all the time. You know, you don't hold envy, strife, anger, passion, problems again. Because you're slowing your own blessings down.
Amen.
Have a good consensus. Whereas when they speak evil, now he's telling you when they come and mock at you, as
come
evil
on.
Dudes, that you may not be ashamed, but falsely what? Accused. He said, look, have a good attitude in your conversation about Christ. Well, I know, that's what my mother said. Well, I know the Lord, now I know the Lord knows. They'll throw their hands up and leave it alone. They ain't going to argue with you. Well, the Lord knows.
Got that right.
They say, well, the Lord knows. No, we want to be, you know, leave it alone. Because the Bible said the battle is not yours, and Ephesians said we fight not against
flesh and blood.
Have a good attitude about when you're going through challenges and changes in your life. If you're putting the fight in God's hands, then it don't belong to you no more. Because the Bible says you know the very intent and thoughts of your heart. That's why he said you back over here in the area when the elder spoke about this. He said, but be sanctified the Lord God in your heart. See, when the enemy come at you, you got a good attitude about going because you know your battle was won.
That's right.
I testify about the goodness of God and what he done in my life. You know, you got to testify. Elder going through these challenges that he dealt with, and look how God just started driving him on up the road. Then he's putting gas in them every day. Just changing the oil and just keep on moving.
Uh-huh.
You who are healthy falling out on the wayside. And y'all look like y'all supposed to live longer than him, but God said, no, it's another plan because I know his heart. I'm going to show you that even with the situation he got in his life, I'm going to push you far beyond more than you can imagine. Ain't it amazing that you ain't got to have a whole lot around you?
Amen.
Oh, man, God, I'm leave that alone. I know it's going to lead somewhere. Because when I just look at the things you tell me. And I hear other men and women of God on the line. And you know what, Elder, how fast so people are so quick to fall off because of a small thing. This is a small thing. They fall off because of a small thing. It's just a small thing.
Amen.
I think the word of God says in the Song of Solomon, it was the, what is the fox? Or the vine? Or a little leaven? Leaven the whole? Don't let the enemy come in on you. Have a good attitude. Testify about what God done for you. Look for expectancy. Change your atmosphere. Change your environment. Change your mouth. I guarantee you within 24 hours, you will see your life change if you start speaking the right thing.
Only persecution is going to develop the right attitude. Persecution comes in with faith. The Bible says that what? Let faith, patience have its perfect work in you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, see, we've got to understand that, you know, we talk about suffering and persecution and right and wrong, this, that, or the other. And I tell folks all the time, I learned a long time ago, first of all, you can't control other people. You can only control you.
And your lane.
But the best thing you can do is surrender your control to the will of God, and then all you got to do is worry about walking therein. It takes more energy to restrain and control yourself than it does to lose it and defile your testimony. Because, see, you got to keep your testimony intact. And it's like this. Say me or Apostle Ellis, you know, somebody could do us totally dead wrong. And everybody in the world knows they're wrong. But because of who we are, the position we're in, let's say we finally, we give in to our weakness, and we end up fighting or doing some damage, this, that, and the other. Our testimony is gone, because from that point forward, people aren't going to look at and remember what good we've done, how we preached God, how we walked the life. They're going to remember that one incident that we lost control. And it's not just that for us. But for anyone who calls himself Satan, now don't get me wrong, again, we are humans. We're in flesh. And yes, we have the propensity to fail. And yes, we can get back up and God will forgive us. As a matter of fact, the worst person, the worst thing you can do is not get back up. But yet and still, when you're really trying to exercise faith and you're determined to keep your testimony, listen. The most powerful thing in existence is the spoken word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Next to that is the spoken word of man, because man is created in the image and the likeness of God. That's why we talk about the difference between positive and negative confession.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if you really want to testify, make it a habit to learn to speak literally the word of God. The Bible tells us to meditate on the word. To meditate on God's word is just to get along somewhere and just to verbally, audibly speak the word of God. The power in the word. Remember, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that was delegated to you. And it's right here in the pages of the Bible. And when you learn how to speak it, and you learn how to put it in, so that it becomes automatic that you're speaking it, no matter what you're facing, then you're automatically testifying of the goodness of God. That's why this scripture right here tells us to be ready to give an answer or a defense to any man who asks of the hope concerning you, because the hope that concerns you is wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in this word. You can't help but testify if you're speaking the word of God. And it's the most powerful thing in the universe.
Yeah. Let the evil come. Just do good.
You want to move the hand of God, believe his word, and speak his word even back to him.
Hallelujah.
He has to honor it. It's impossible for him to lie.
Amen.
God says that he honors his word above his name. And remember, he didn't give his word for his sake. He gave his word for our sake.
that you may testify of this doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Speak the word. Yeah. That's all it takes. Speak the word.
Yeah. I like the centurion, you know, when you're just speaking in reference to that, but when you talk about, you know, when we see testimonies, and the brother in Atlanta, I never really got into that conversation about what was going on with him. What was his brother's name over in Atlanta, who bought that church up and raised it from 20 something people, but and then you know they accused him and they say and it's still probably on the ballot in most people's heart, but most people probably ain't forgave him. You know, they said he got into a situation with some people. But I noticed at the end of his run, I noticed how God brought him back, how God forgave him and allowed him to still see the goodness of what he raised up despite of his fall. And the same thing I see with David. The same thing I see with Jimmy Swagger. You know, we look at
the
accounts that was with him. Not only him, but other men of God. We look at situations with Benny. Great people. You know, I mean, not only him, but myself. You know what I'm saying? Their stuff was just more magnified.
Yeah, because of who they are. Because
Exactly. It's the same.
And people are wired as such that they give more attention to the fault than the faith. Mm-hmm. And I like the way the one bishop out in L.A. put it. He said, well, you know, you don't know what it took for me to get it. Even T.D. Jakes gives his testimony. But at the end of the day, you see my story now. I mean, you see my glory now, but you really don't know my story.
Yeah.
You don't know how many times I had to fall and get back up in order to get to this point, just like any one of us.
But when you fall and get back up, you never want to use the. You never want to lose the direction of what you're going.
No, you don't. That's the point.
To get where I'm going, I can't take up on myself to make sure the gospel is because I'm going to live on the fact because I failed and I made it to this point, then I just got the ability to just go uncontrollably any kind of way. No, you don't do that.
Oh, no. As a matter of fact,
you got to still stay in
right. Again, as a matter of fact, man's limitation is God's opportunity.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. In other words, where you fall out and fail at, God takes over.
Yeah,
so when you fall and you get back up, you're willing even to start over from scratch if it takes that to lay yourself and lay everything down before God and get in God's hand. God will restore you. Listen, the devil is called the accuser of the brethren for a reason. And the issue that we face oftentimes is whether or not when to choose you remember back in the day there was a song a guy by the name of Kenny Rogers had called The Gambler, and he said, you got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up. Well, it's the same thing with the Lord. Exactly.
David knew that very word respectfully. When you look at, I think David's word was one of the most powerful, I think to me, it was the most powerful repentance prayer. When I tell people look at repentance, I say, "Go, you want to hear a true repentance?" I say, "Go to David."
Psalm 51, that's right.
I say, look at it. This is tradition because we have it, our parents have seen this. Psalm 91, okay, you're going through challenges. The Psalm 23, your strength. Psalm 27, you know, they give us these things. I mean, when the enemy coming in, Psalms 3, you know, to preach the word of God, then he knock the teeth out the devil. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Psalm 51, if you feel you went through
something, right,
then you don't owe nothing to anybody. They got alone themselves. And they, Lord, the first thing he said, if you truly repent in your heart, David, but you got to do it in your heart. He said, have mercy upon me. He didn't say anybody else about it. He didn't put, you know, he knew what he done with Uriah. He knew what he done with Bathsheba. He knew the things that Nathan came to him, exposed him. He couldn't hide no longer. He knew
that. Know, and what was so interesting, preacher, was that all of this occurred after God had visited David and even given him what we call the Davidic covenant. He promised him that his seed was going to sit on the throne forever.
Yeah.
David committed this after that. And right away, David repented. And right away, God saved him. God restored him. But God pronounced judgment. And we got to understand something. God never leave himself without a witness. And all he desires is to build us into witness for him. That's why you hear the phrase, it goes back to the Lord's Prayer where it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're here to ensure and carry out the will of God on earth.
He honors his word. I mean, Elder, y'all, you nigga, listen to what he's saying. If y'all don't get the insight on what he's saying, let me just tell you. Ishmael's Isaac, Canaan, Abel. You know, look at this, how God, he spoke words in these incidents, and when the incidents happened, God said, okay, I ain't going to cut my word back, because my word ain't going to go back void.
Exactly.
Despite what happened with Cain and Abel, despite what happened with Joseph and Abel, I mean, God said, my word's still going to stand. I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to do just for Ishmael as I did for Abel. You know, I'm going to do the same thing with Isaac. Isaac is the seed, but I'm going to still do for Ishmael. Despite that he
That's
came,
right.
you know, it was, it's still
going
to stay. Man, come on, man of God. And you don't know how the one who picked, because that stuff is a lineage hit. Because when the ones who picked up Joseph out of the pit was the descendants of him. And that's what people don't look at. They were Ishmaelite. Oh, man, we don't need to get off. We're going to go way over that. I mean, because this is when you just sit out and do in-depth study by lineage, by even when you go back to the ark, you go back to Noah, this stuff runs deep. And everywhere you see where it ran deep, God's word never, you show me anywhere, if you study your lineage right and you understand your chronicles right, you show me anywhere in the word of God, you see where God went back on his word. The one thing I question, and I know God only had the meant to do that when he came to Hezekiah.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, come on, man of God. Now, I'm going to let you go on that.
I was just thinking about that, preacher. The man of God went to Hezekiah and told him, the Bible says that now Hezekiah was sick unto death. And the man of God went to him and told him, said, God said, you need to get your house in order because you're not going to recover from this illness, but you're surely going to die. And listen, you know, I feel like I've been there myself before.
Yeah.
So Hezekiah did exactly what we're talking about now. He prayed to God. The Bible says, and I love this, and this is going to be a running thing for me the rest of the year. The Bible says that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. See, the wall, the wailing wall, if you know anything about the city of Jerusalem, there's a wailing wall there now. And for thousands of years, hundreds of years, people have gone there. Even Muslims have gone there. They go before that wall. They face that wall. Because that wall represents the prayer of God. That wall represents a presence where God's ear is open until the prayers of the righteous. And they even write notes, and they put their prayer requests on the wall, and they face that wall, and they pray even unto this day. So the Bible says that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he simply told God, Lord, you know how I've walked upright before you. You know what I've done. Everything that I've done, you know my heart. You know who I am, Lord. So please, Lord, you know, don't allow this to come to pass. And the Bible says before the man of God got outside of the courtyard, going to the gate to leave, God came to him and told him to turn around and tell Hezekiah, I heard your prayer. I'm adding 15 years to your life.
Yeah. He changed the death sentence, man of God. He went against us. He went against us. Oh, Lord, in the name. He changed the death sentence of a prophet. Oh, Jesus.
And he turned his face to the wall. See, you can't change God. But your faith and your faithfulness and even the faithfulness in your testimony can turn and move the hands of God. There's
That's
a difference.
What moves God, your faith.
Your faith is what moves God.
That's what moves God. Jesus, hallelujah, oh Lord, in the name of
And again,
Jesus.
Your faithfulness and your obedience is the basis and the grounds for your testimony.
Yes.
See, God designed every one of us to have our lives actually supposed to come full circle and become a living worship unto him.
Yeah.
The Bible says, mm-hmm. you know, if your ways please God,
yeah.
he will withhold nothing from you.
Yeah, desires, yeah, everything, yeah.
And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
none of us have arrived there yet, but praise God, we still have the grace and opportunity to get there. You understand? We can't take this for granted.
Yeah.
We can't afford to assume anything.
That's right.
But it's all about your faith or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know, again, I ain't speaking from the ivory tower. You know, I can honestly stand before you and say, and I can tell you, there are times, you know, I was mad at God. And God had to allow me and reveal to me that it's all right for me to be mad, but when I get done being mad, I better look for revelation and truth.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, I'm going to mad myself on out of his will and mad myself mm-hmm. on out of grace. The Bible says, have mm-hmm. thine anger, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on their wrath.
Yes.
God never said it was a sin to question him. It's simply sin to disobey him. Period.
And you have to build your
faith. Bible tells us, yeah. God says to try him and will it be so.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah. And you know, listen, it's like this. Jesus said again, and I say this, like Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out. Mm. What comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Okay?
Mm.
If you haven't put God in, you're not going to get God out, especially when you need him the most.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put him in, the testimony is built into you, so it's going to come out when you need it. Because God will pull it out. That's all. That's all. You know. That's all I'm saying. When you have opportunity, when you have opportunity to give glory to God with your words, it benefits you to do it.
Yeah. Build your faith.
It benefits you.
What did you say? Build your faith up on the most highest faith proclaimed in the Holy Ghost. And gas
yourself
up. Speak
That's
in
right.
tongues. Don't be talking like, I mean, speak in the Holy Ghost. I do more praying in the Holy Ghost than I do regular praying. I pray in the Holy Ghost more than I say. It's all about getting to a little bit of I need God in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night. I mean, when you get up and you go to relieve yourself, you know, you don't, Lord, look here. Yeah, I just didn't get up to relieve me. It's something. It just,
I know that's
real. Yeah. You may be staggering to where you're going. But your mouth was staggering your own back to sleep, and then God began to put something in your. Look, when God began to give you visions and dreams, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, I don't tell me that what God won't do. He'll begin to show you something.
Amen.
I beg you to just keep on, just set in the room and read the Word of God, and just keep on. Listen here, man of God, just keep. This is a testimony. Just keep on saying over and over. Just keep on saying, Lord, have mercy.
Just keep on.
Something gonna come in. Something gonna enter in. Before you know how to saturate the atmosphere, I dare you to just keep on saying, don't count the time. Just keep on saying, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And all of a sudden, begin a little louder. You begin to break through the very atmosphere and the very heavens, God says. And you just keep on saying, Lord. See, God says, when we pray, we don't know what we are. When you don't know how to pray, the word of testimony, I'm telling you, man, it wasn't God, you better hear me as I testify. You just keep on saying, Lord, have mercy. Lord,
that's right.
Lord, I'm telling you, it's something in there. I don't know what it is, but I know it's a breakthrough. Then when you get in
there's
the
something,
that
that's
Holy
right.
Come back at you.
That's right. There's something in your spirit.
There's something in your
that
spirit.
That God is moving with.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks about us praying in the spirit. God receives, as the Bible says, the utterings and groanings that we can't even understand.
Yes.
This is where your heavenly language comes into play.
Yes.
And I don't care who you are, if you live long enough, you face something, some pain in your life that has taken you that place. You may not have even known it, but God knows. Okay? God knows. And this is the thing. The more you can encourage yourself, the more you can encourage someone else.
Yeah.
So there's going to be times. The Bible says that what David didn't have anybody else, David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You just said back
there,
Lord.
It can be as simple. That's right. It can be as simple as speaking your favorite scripture.
Yeah. I just, the Lord is my shepherd. I just dare you to keep on saying it. I speak a Malachi on the lives of anybody who's listening. I dare you to take a word of the scripture and you do it just like John the Baptist did with the word that he said about repentance. The Lord is my shepherd. Lord have mercy. He that liveth in me. Just keep on. Just one liner.
Amen.
Just one liner. Something. Don't tell me
it ain't got to be nothing glamorous.
Nothing.
As long as it's between you and the Lord.
Yeah, I don't need all that stuff. I mean, you know, number one, you're supposed to pray. When you pray, you don't pray to please people anyway. You got to come inside, and what's in you begin, just like the man of God said, what's in you begin to come out of you. Because when you pray, what's in you going to loosen and what the power of God to come up out of you. And when you got power coming up out of you, that's the true heart of a man and woman of God who's listening. You don't preach for performance. I can give you all the titles and names in the world. But baby, when you want to preach and pray from your heart, your soul, your spirit, it'll move in the name of Jesus. It will move. I know it'll move. I watched my mother. God bless my mother. That taught me something. I remember when she was laying there and she was making that transition to going to the kingdom of God. And you know, Elder, the time that she was on, I don't testify to anybody about this, but the time, the months that she laid on that bed going through the sickness and going through the process, and I wouldn't even say the sickness, I say it was a transformation taking place. God was rebirthing her, recreating her, redesigning her, preparing her for the kingdom of God. And I remember her words used to always kind of come in and out of conscience during that time. And the only thing she would say is, Lord, have mercy. I want to make sure, because she would say, no weapon formed against me. That's the only word. And my mother's last saying that she began to go into the kingdom of God, she said it all the way out. Much before she was actually going to her stage, she just said, Charles. I said, yeah, Mom. She said, the Lord chose me. I said, ooh. Jesus. I said, right then I knew that God had already put the in. But she was just there for the comfort of us. But her words from that time, she always said the famous words, she said, no weapon formed against me.
No weapon
formed against me. That's all she said. And to the day she took her left, she said, no weapon formed against me. When God said you got to fight the fight of faith, and you got to fight with your last breath, brother, you better hear me. I mean it. I know it. See, that's a word, she said. No weapon formed against me. That's another one here that you need to say. When you stand in the room and you see the like things are going right in your life, you begin to get a word from the doctor. Mom, come on, y'all, I gotta stop, I gotta back up a little bit. Because when you get a report, and the word of God begins to tell you, for who has believed the report, and who has the arms of the report been revealed, when you begin to look at a mass situation going against your life, circumstances coming against you, when you begin to step back and say, no weapon formed. Listen to how he says, no weapon formed against me. I'm the creator and the engineer and the designer of Jeremiah 25. I can't be taught by the power of the devil, because what's in me got to come out of me. And if he said, no weapon formed against me, shall prosper, then he mean that. That's my whole defensive, because I'm going home into the kingdom of God. No weapon formed against me. That's all she said. I can hear the words ringing in my heart. Birthday just passed here on the first. I can hear the words all over my ears, coming up over all of my walls in my office. No weapon formed against me.
That was her testimony.
We got to deal with them whenever they make their conversion. They're going over to the kingdom. She said, no weapon formed against me. You got to know when you come into the kingdom of God, you got to be clear in everything you
do.
She said, don't make it in, son. She said, you got to have a heart.
Uh-huh.
I remember her last time of service, Elder, when she came in the house of God, I went home with her, not just testifying. She came in, I remember two times I went in the house of God, and the time I came back with her.
And when she came in the door, she was dealing with the process of the trach on her neck, and she could talk. All she did was throw her hands up.
Wow.
But you can't call out, you give her a signal. When she went through the doors, she said, I praise God for me being in the house. I got a warm again.
Yeah.
You don't know when your mass time. I'm saying, it's not the hour and the time or moment. I think Elder spoke about it last week and said, get the work done. What is the work? That's what we're talking about right here now. You all want to give God a testimony. You all want to get God some shabakim about the things that you deal with in your life. When you begin to release it out of your mouth, God begins to speak it in the atmosphere. When you speak that, God gets hold of it. And God begins to hear you cry. He heard that Psalm 51. She was throwing hands when she came in the house of God. She would say, the indication when she couldn't speak out, with, she said, I'm glad to be in the house of God one more again. One more time. That was her word. Right there.
Amen.
You know what to do. You know what to do. They always, not like we give today, we want to give all fancy about it. We want to give a whole, they say, I want to thank God. I want to thank the Lord for being in, she said, what's in the house of God one more time. They say,
amen.
Who's the head of my voice?
That's
Lord.
Right.
That's what they say.
That's right.
I thank God for being here. I thank for the saints. I thank for the men of God. I thank for the church. They always gave God praise.
Yes, sir.
You ought to want to hear these Old Testament about these old saints. These old saints will stir something up in you to make you want to run. They'll run you, boy. They will run you, but the testimonies they speak. I want to thank God for one more time being in the house of God. I heard it, Elder. My birthday just passed on the 1st.
Uh-huh.
You hear a voice saying, I can see your hands going up. Just one more time. I'm glad to be here one more time. That's when he was counting.
Well, you know.
We know we're
uh-huh. You know she's still with you. She's still in you, man. That legacy is still there. It ain't going nowhere. That, you know, there was so many things that we took for granted and let go of that the saints of old used to do. And some things we just need to go back and revisit. Like, I remember the mothers had what was called a mourning bench.
Yeah.
And that mourning bench sat right up in front of the church in the fire. That's was right. For anybody who was mourning. You had backslid anything, that mourning bench was there for you because they was there to pray with you and love you back on in the grace.
Yeah.
There's just certain things that we need to learn from and get back to. Again, I can't say it enough, though. The truth of the matter is, listen, you can't give what you don't have.
Yeah.
And if it's not in, you're not going to be able to give it away or call on it yourself.
Yeah.
So this is why we have to humble ourselves and learn to receive.
Yeah.
We all start out as babies. Nobody's born fully grown. You know, it's just like, these days, everybody wants to have a title. Everybody wants to be a preacher, a pastor, an evangelist, an apostle, a bishop, an elder, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And that's fine. The Bible says it's a good thing to desire. But this is the truth. They are roles that we learn how to live and grow into. Nobody's born a pastor. Nobody's born a champion, a king. Nobody's born a preacher. No, it's a role that you have to learn and go put on one step at a time.
Yeah.
We talk about leadership. There's a popular misconception that leaders are born. I beg to differ. Leaders are made. They're created by God.
The Bible says every man has been given a measure.
Exactly.
That measure, whatever your gifting is, whatever your anointing is, whatever God called you, it ain't based on what a man say because of you got a lens. I got 12 pieces, 3 pastors in my family. I got 5 apostles. So what you saying? You can't live off that coattail nowhere. The Bible said you
so you're right.
So let a man examine himself.
Not everybody else.
Well, look at David, a powerful man of God. Absalom, look at this son was doing. Something happened to him. He's going to kill the king. That's why we're crazy. Because what my father had, or what your mother had, or what his brother, that you're going to have. If I say, based on, my daddy was really okay, so what they're telling me, you can run off their coattail? Well, if I come up, people bragging about, especially us, I come from a line of preachers. That means you just got a bunch of bigger the devil in you than they probably had, you know? I ain't saying they were devils, but I'm saying people see that as a thing that they saved. They want to use it as, because I had a lineage of pastors and preachers, that means I'm, no. You got to put on your own coat.
Amen.
Get your own stuff. Let's get on out of here, man. We need to pray.
Yes, sir.
Our need is our team. You know, our team, first our team here, our intercessory team. We want to pray that they continue to pray for us as we continue to keep bringing forth the word, Dr. Albright, Prophet Denny.
Amen.
The man of God, Pastor Sweeney, thank God for him and the work he's continuing to kind of come on and help the work to move forward.
I got a couple of the names I want to put out. I want to put out there for you to pray for. You lift up in prayer. One is my pastor, my brother in the gospel, a man by the name of Pastor Chet Atkins. He's going through in his body today. And then another is another spiritual mentor of mine. His name is Pastor Owens. He's down at Greater Grace in Detroit. And also a young lady, one of the mothers of a young friend of mine who's in Birmingham, Alabama. Her name is Miss Jackie. Her daughter's name is Ruthless, Arslan Ruthless. And Miss Jackie was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer today. And I pray with her. She's a woman of faith, and she's remarkable. But I'm asking for you to lift those names, and we want to include those names in prayer tonight.
Amen. Sister Jackie, Brother Owens, Pastor Chet Atkins, these men are not our leaders and ministers. They may always know. See, there's the old saying that you look at the other side of things and say, if you can get rid of the leadership, then the body of that. I'm going to say, in the midst of the armies and the fighting, we'll go back to the book of Second Chronicles, I believe. He said that he saw in the midst of that prophecy, if you look at chapter 18, you read it through, it's a good word to read, how the word that the false prophet came to Ahab, but then it took Jeremiah. Jehoshaphat was asking for Micah, the other, but he prophesied what they wanted to say. And God really said, if his prophets are speaking one thing, then I'm agree with them that what they say. Now, notice what he said. He said, but I'll be a lying spirit in their mouth. I'll let them say what they see from that Gilead, and I'll see you scattered on the hill with no leader. And this is what we got to pray for our leaders, that they don't get carried away in this new age. And you keep talking about a new gospel. There ain't no new gospel.
Amen.
Father God, I need that you begin to move on his life. Pastor Owens, Father God, I'm asking you to fire, that he had turned and he began to look and believe in his heart. That in the midst of all
that he's going
to talk about, it's time to move out of the way. But you got yet more things for him to do. Father God, in the midst of the Father, I declare by the word of God that even as the rock came up, the first miracle, Father, on the way to heal the woman with the issue of blood, that there was a young girl by a man of a synagogue named by the name of Jairus. And you healed her daughter, his daughter, in the name of Jesus, and you healed the woman of God. I declare the word of God over the woman of God, Jackie, whoever reported came to her, Father God, that I believe according to the Spirit, that every lung and every cheek come from you, Father God. And I'm asking by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you begin to touch her, Father God, in the midst of her body, Father God. Whatever the dying note is in her, Father God, I'm asking you to clean it up. I saw the miracles and the power you've done in the lives of people, Father God. I declare that lung cancer be healed in the name of Jesus. Every torment and disease, Father God, according to your word, Father God, when you saw the man and woman, God, you had mercy on him. You declare all sickness and disease to be healed in anybody. I declare by you, Father God, and you only alone, that the blood that you shed on the cross, in the midst of the work, we don't hear the H&LC that touched the man of God who's acting in twin rapids with me and all the ones who make up this team in the name of Jesus, that you begin to touch the way they may be in the distant land, that the word will manifest and move in a way that never moved before in the name of Jesus. I decree not over myself, but through the power that you would invest in me to be a man of God. I declare that the word that I speak, Father God, will not come back void, but it will accomplish and do all that therein in the name of Jesus. Touch this household by the power of the fruit of your Holy Ghost. Look over my wife, God, in the name of Jesus, as she begins to torment and do the very things about the enemies in the kingdom, begin to shut them down, Father God. I'm asking you to anoint, Father God, in the life and the mouth that she speak the word of the kingdom of God. Even as my young daughter begin to hear the word, let the very power of the presence of the Holy Spirit begin to dawn upon her in the name of Jesus. And me, myself, Father God, as I begin to go forth, Father God, I'm asking you to strengthen me in areas that may be weak, that when the enemy try to come in like a flood, that be the very battle that you were raised in the midst of a time of an offense, Father God, that I may move forward in every area of my life, that I may continue to move through the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm asking you to bless the line of the minds of the ones who listen in on tonight, wherever they may be, Father God. We strip your word like a spike in the name of Jesus, that touch their households, Father God, in the power of the Holy Ghost. Father God, I thank you for the blessings of the young man of God, Sweeney, who came on to help the ministry to continue to move forward. Let him be a blessed man of God. Give him wisdom beyond reproach in the name of Jesus. Go into his household, wherever it may be, in the midst of the household that he's living in. I'm asking to touch his wife in the midst of that sickness in her body, that you begin to give her strength, that she'll rise up, Father God, in the midst of her rising up. She'll come back to be the very Catholic that he needs to be in his life. I thank you, Father God, for the anointing. I thank you for the power. I thank you for the grace that you bestow in the name of Jesus. You Oh, Lord, move in the name of Jesus. Touch your servants by now in the power of Jesus, that we begin to move by the blood and the authority of the presence of the Holy Ghost. Father God, it seems like I'm praying, and I can't pray no more. But I know that you are God, beside you there is no other, Father God. That even we begin to leave you, Father God, but we don't leave your presence. As the word of God declared over in the First Peter, let us have a good attitude in the midst of all the things that's going on around us, that we may pray the prayer of faith on the heart and the mind of your people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm asking you to bless the woman of God as I begin to pray for her, Father God, in the midst of her conditions, that we may know and realize in the midst of all that we see and do, and we may know around us, Father God, that she's yet been healed in the midst of the conditions in her body. In the name of Jesus, you know the very ones I'm speaking of. You know the very words that I'm speaking. You know the very words that I'm saying, Father God. I'm asking you to move and distribute it, Father God, in a way that you see fit. In the name of the Most High God, I declare, Father God, that you come in the midst of all that we have prayed and speak about tonight and being anointed in the ears and the hearts of your people, that we may know and understand, Father God, beside you, Father God, that is no other, that we may know you are one and the only one, and our life can help us to go whatever conditions and problems may be revealed within our life. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking, Father God, to move on this work that we're doing through the Holy Spirit. In the midst of we continue to move, Father God, you will give us grace and mercy through the power of your blood. I thank you, and I declare the word not of myself, but through the power of the Most High God, In the mighty name and omnipotent name of Jesus Christ, I speak and call it done. Man of God, we love you. We thank you for your presence. If there's anything you got to say to these people, man of God, we're going to sign off with the last words out of this man of God's mouth. And we look, don't forget to join him on Thursday night. Thursday night. We got a treat for you on tomorrow night with the man of God coming out of Ghana, another man by the name of Eric. And we're going to have him bringing the word to us in the kingdom. We're going to thank God for
Amen.
Him. But, man of God, you shut us down after your words, and we out of here.
All right. Amen. God bless you all tonight. We thank you for joining us. We encourage you to continue to do so. I just want to leave you with this thought. I need you to survive, okay? We all need each other, iron sharpens iron, so we need to continue to come together. God bless you. We pray that God has encouraged you and lifted you some way. Remember that the battle is not yours, but it truly belongs to the Lord. Just trust. Good night. God bless you.